Morning. Today's daf in Vavasra's Nuntes. We are on the very top of Nuntes Amud Aleph. We're starting with the words Tehiyat Tanan. It is, however, in the middle of a conversation in the Gemara, discussion in the Gemara. So let's just recap what we learned yesterday. On Nunches Amud Beis, we had a Mishnah right in the middle of the Amud, discussing the Marzev and the Mazchila. The Marzev does not have a chazaka, but the Mazchila does have a chazaka. Let's just take even one step further back. We're talking about Cheskas Tashmish. I have basically done something for a certain amount of time, according to the Rashbam. Rashbam said it a couple times in the past couple of days, meaning that even though we're not talking about acquiring something, but we're talking about rights of usage, but the Rashbam says it's the same interval of time, it's 3 years. So in other words, once I help myself to using something for 3 years, so now I've established a chazakah, I've established now a right of usage, and I can continue to use it. So, a mazchila, that's the gutter on the top of the roof. That's the one that collects all the rain. So for that, if I've used that for 3 years, it's a permanent structure. In other words, that gutter that runs across the whole ridge of my roof, and so therefore that creates a chazakah, that creates a right of usage. On the other hand, the marzev is the drain spout. The drain spout, in other words, the water's got to exit somewhere. Meaning the gutter is great, but if the water doesn't have a drain, so then the gutter doesn't work. The gutter doesn't help much. So it's a drain spout. For that, you don't have a chazakah. So you don't have a chazakah for the marzev. So what does that mean exactly? In other words, what's a gutter without the drain? So on that, we saw yesterday in the Gemara three different explanations of how to understand that line of the Mishnah, that the Marzev doesn't have a chazakah, but the Mazchila, but the general gutter does have a chazakah. So let's just quickly recap the three answers that we saw yesterday. Answer number one was Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, and he says that the Marzev doesn't have a chazakah miruchachas, but however yeshlem kama chazakah mishay ruchos. And as the Rashma explained yesterday, look, the Mazchila, that's the big gutter, and that once I've established that I have a gutter over my roof, and even though there is going to be an overflow of water that goes into your property, but I've done this for a long time, and therefore I have gained a right of usage. However, when it comes to the drain spout is movable. You can move the Marzev from point to point. So even though he's had the Marzev on, let's say, the north side of the gutter for so many years, I can tell him, look, I don't want the drain spout over there. I want you to move it to the south side. So for that, I have the Baal HaMarzev, the owner of the drain spout, does not have a right of usage in that particular area. He has to move it to another area. That's answer number one. Answer number two was Rabbi Chanina. He says the Marzev doesn't have a chazaka. Shimaya aruch mekatzro. In terms of the length of the drain spout, meaning the drain spout goes out into the other person's yard. So let's say the drain spout's really long, and you want to, and I, the owner of the property where the water is going into, I want to cut it shorter. So I can tell him, you got to cut it shorter. And even though it's been this length for so many years, still, I'm not impeding you from draining your water into my property. I just simply want the drain spout to be shorter. So for that, the Baal HaChatzer can tell the owner of the Marzev, you got to cut it shorter. And finally, number three is Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. And he says, Amarzev ein lo chazaka shim rotsa livnos tachtav bona, v'yishlem kama chazaka shim bala okra ino okra. So what you, the Baal HaChatzer, can do is that you can always build underneath the Marzev. The owner of the gutter and the drain pipe has and will continue to have a right to allow the water to go into the neighbor's property. In other words, assuming that we've gone 3 years in this manner, so you can continue doing so. But that doesn't mean that you own the airspace. The airspace that's underneath the Marzev, that's underneath the drain pipe, so that's still owned by the Baal HaChatzer. The Baal HaChatzer wants to build something over there, he may do so. And the owner of the gutter and the drain pipe does not have the right and usage of the airspace underneath underneath the drain pipe. Okay, so those are three different pshatim that we saw back in the Mishnah. I mentioned yesterday that the collection of Rishonim, I have in my notes over here, Nemuka Yosef, the Rif, the Rambam, so they say that these three answers are not necessarily impeding on one another. They're just three different ways to answer the same exact question, and that's the collection of the Rishonim. However, I didn't mention yesterday, but I'll mention it today. I have an opportunity. If you look at the Rashbam, you don't get that sense from the Rashbam that these answers are all working in concert with one another. And it could very well be, writes the Rashbam, that let's say, for example, Rabbi Chanina does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says that you could just simply move the drain up and down along the gutter. and Rabbi Hanina may not necessarily agree with that pshat. Anyway, so do these answers work in coordination with one another? Are they exclusionary to one another? So again, the Rishonim debate that very issue. Okay, I said it. Now let's move on to the top of today's daf. All right, Nun Testament Aleph. Now the Gemara Tanan, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Maschila Yeshlo Chazaka. Now you have a Chazaka for the Maschila. Now that's for the large gutter. Okay, that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. Now Bishlama. Now before we ask the Gemara's question, what does that mean? Meaning the top Rashbam on the Amud writes Uva my diktani Amar Ziv Ein Lo Chazaka Kamar Ava Maschila Yeshlo Lo Chazaka. Meaning clearly in the Mishnah there's a contrast. The contrast of the Mishnah is that you don't have a chazaka when it comes to the drain spout, but you do have a chazaka as it relates to the maschila, meaning that there is something possibly offensive about the maschila, but because it's a permanent structure, because I put it up there, and because I used it for 3 years, so therefore I continue that right of usage. But there must be something about it that could be offensive, and the Mishnah is telling us, but you still have a chazaka. Okay, so Bishlam Laman Damar Nechtarti Shapir. So the Gemara says, now let's think about it. We had three answers in the Gemara in terms of how to understand what exactly is the right of the drain pipe. We had Shmuel, Rabbi Hanina, and Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'arba. So as Rashman points out over here, for two of these answers, I understand the contrast between the gutter versus the drain pipe. Take a look at the next Rashman. He writes, Bishlam Laman Damar Nechtarti Shapir. Dil Shmuel Damar Ein Lo Chazaka Meruchacha Shapir Tzirich Lememar Aval Hamaschila Yirmiyah. Yes, so for the first answer of the Gemara, that's Shmuel's answer. So I totally get it. Why? Because it is a permanent structure and I don't move it from place to place. Meaning, I no longer, once I have the gutter here on this side of my building, so now the owner of the chatzah, the owner of the courtyard, can no longer say, hey, move your gutter to somewhere else. No. Meaning, I have it established over here. I'll move my drain pipe from one place to another, but the gutter is not moving. Good. So I understand the contrast. And the second answer, also I get it. Meaning that drain pipe is too long. It's going too far out into my yard. Fine. I'll clip the drain pipe. But the gutter's staying there. Gutter's not moving. Right, exactly. So good. So for answers one and two, you get the contrast between the drain pipe versus the gutter. But according to the third approach of the Gemara, that it's a function of airspace. So what in the world does the Mishnah mean when it says, you know, when it comes to the drain pipe, he doesn't acquire the airspace underneath. But when it comes to the gutter, what's the contrast? Meaning, of course you don't get the airspace underneath the gutter. Why would I have even thought that there would be an acquisition of the airspace underneath the gutter? The gutter is hanging over the person's chatzer, but what's the contrast? When it comes to the gutter, I do have a chazaka. What do you mean you do have a chazaka? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. Meaning, and look at the next Rashbam. Gabi amar ziv dalhachin lo chazaka shein ratzel liv nos tachta abona. Maishna matzchila dekama yesh lo chazaka shein she'ein bonin tachteha. And what are you now trying to say? That when it comes to the gutter, you're not allowed to build under it. Really? My nafka lemina labal maschila ibani bal chatzer tusa halomasi midi u bal chatzer lo shiba lo chatzera lemaschila ala davashena maziklo. Meaning, and now what? The owner of the courtyard can't build under the gutter? Like, what difference does it make to the owner of the gutter whether you're building under his gutter or you're not building under the gutter? The drainage, you know, we can make an argument. We did make an argument that, you know, you don't acquire that airspace underneath. Yeah, you know, he might have thought he would because he wants the water to drain down. But the gutter? Like, what? Why did you think that you can't build directly underneath the gutter? So the Gemara gives an answer. And the Gemara says, So the Gemara says that with the gutter that we're talking about is made up of stone. Okay? I'm sure they would have loved aluminum gutters. Modern innovation. But the Gemara says, But the gutter that was used back then was made out of stone. It's an important correction. Lo nichali de Israishtai. You see, here's what's going to happen. You're going to build underneath my gutter. But my gutter is made up of stone. And what's going to end up happening is that if you're building under my gutter, it's going to hurt my gutter. Rashbam writes, Klomar, Mazchila Shaliti Paul, Lekol Makavos Vahagarzen, Vachol Kli Barzel, Bihi Banos Binyanech. In other words, well, you're going to be hammering and sawing and doing a lot of vibrating work directly under my gutter. And my gutter is made up of stone. And it's going to, the vibration is really going to affect it. And it's going to break my gutter. Avagabe Marzev Lochashiv Kokacha Filahave Shal Binyan, but when it comes to the drain pipe is not as serious a piece of equipment, and the vibrating is not going to affect it that much, and so therefore you can build directly under the drain pipe. Okay, so the Gemara now gives an answer. The gutter is made up of stone, therefore by you building an edifice directly underneath it, you're going to actually break the gutter, so therefore you're not allowed to do it, but the drain pipe is not as serious an edifice. The Rashbam gives another pshat, but it's pretty similar. Inami haydika maflik be marzev lamaschila haynu mishum destam marzev shaleitz v'stam maschila shalavanim. It's the same basic idea. The maschila is made out of stone. The gutter is made out of stone, like we explained already. The drain pipe is made out of wood. Okay, again, the building that you do underneath, the vibration is not going to affect the wood like it would affect the stone. Okay.
Like an aqueduct, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tzino, Amar Kalech, Mem, Lechatzir, Chaveru, Va'abal, Agag, Leso, Smo. Okay, now we're going to basically take a look at the exact same scenario, but we're just going to simply turn the perspective around and we're going to look at it from the owner of the courtyard. Meaning, what has been the case for years? So for years, the guys had a roof going into my property. The gutter is built on top of my property, and the drain now is draining the water into my property. Okay, and what we learned together is good, meaning the owner of the roof can do that. And if this has been going on now for 3 years, so he has now gained a right of usage. And at no point in time now could the Baal HaChatzar say to the Baal HaMazchila, hey, you know what, move your gutter somewhere else. I don't like your gutter draining onto my property. All well and good. Now what we're going to do, look at the exact same scenario, but now we're looking at it from the perspective of the Baal HaChatzar. The owner of the courtyard. So now for these years, he's had now water draining into his property. And he's figured that out. And he said, you know what? I'm going to make good use of this water. Water is great for irrigating my field. Water is great for giving to my animals. Meaning, I now like the water that goes into my field. Now, I no longer can view it as an inconvenience, but I turn the negative into a positive. It's good. Now, let's say, under the same exact circumstance, now the owner of the roof and the owner of the gutter says, you know what? I want to move my gutter somewhere else. So can the Baal HaChatzar now say to the owner of the gutter, no, you know what? Not only does it not bother me, but I like it. I need it. I'm used to it now. And that's what the Gemara is discussing. So, I'm a review, I'm a shmoltz, I'm a kalech, I'm a chatzir chavero. If I have a pipe which runs water into my friend's courtyard, and the owner of the roof says, you know what, I'm going to plug it up. And I'm going to divert and drain the water into somebody else's field. So the owner of the field can say now to the owner of the gutter, no, this has been going on for years. You know what? I have a right to your water. The Amr leki hechda kanita lachatzer didi lemishte be maya lididi nami kaneli maya di igrech. And you know what? It was a reciprocal negotiation, meaning basically the way the Gemara says it was a barter. You know, I allowed you to drain water onto my property, and with that consideration, now I've gained the right of that water into my property. So basically now we have a bartered exchange, an exchange of rights, and now what the Baal HaChatzar can, the Gemara says, legitimately say to the owner of the roof is, I now have right to that water. You can't divert the water and drain that water into someone else's property.
Can the owner of the house force the Baal HaChatzar to pay for half the gutter?
Well, the assumption is the gutter is already there. Meaning that was exactly the exchange. I'm allowing you to build the gutter over my property and allowing you to have the water drain on my property. And at the same time, I've also now have the rights to that water. The gutter is already there. So good. This issue, although the Gemara has made it seem like it's a perfectly clear issue, clear-cut issue, it's actually subject to a debate. Itmar Rabbi Yoshi Amar Ma'akev, Rabbi Chama Amar Inim Ma'akev. So, can the Baal HaChatzar actually say this to the owner of the gutter? You're not allowed to move your gutter. Your water must drain into my property. So the Gemara says, Machlokis, it's a debate. Rabbi Oshia says yes, and Rabbi Chama says Eino Ma'akiv, you cannot. There's an interesting relationship going on over here between these Amoraim, and that is Rabbi Oshia is the son, and Rabbi Chama is the father. Now, you'll see, I know that because the Gemara is going to tell us that information. And first let me go through the Gemara, and then I'll come back and we'll make some comments. So, Rabbi Yosha, the son, he says, like we just said, yes, meaning the owner of the field can say to the owner of the roof and the gutter, that water must now come into my property. I've gained that right, and I've now have that right. And Rabbi Chama says, no. That if the owner of the roof wants to divert the water to another property, he may do so. Now they asked Rabbi Bisa the question, and again, right now let's just point out, Rabbi Bisa is also a family member, and he is the father of Rabbi Chama, grandfather to Rabbi Oshia. So Amaluhu Ma'akev, and he agrees with his grandson. So the Zeta and the Enoklach agree with one another. Enokol. So Kari Allah Rami Barchama v'achunem Meshulish Lomemheri Yinatake. So Rami Barchama, when he saw this exchange and the debate that's taking place between the grandfather, the father, and the son, grandson to the grandfather, so he quotes the pasuk in Kohelet. The pasuk says that when you have a cord and the cord is made up of three strung, so it's a much stronger cord and it's not going to break that easily. Ze Rabbi Yosha, Benosha, Rabbi Chama, Benosha, Rabbi Bisa. So, and that is the genealogy of Rabbi Yosha, son of Rabbi Chama, son of Rabbi Bisa, where you see that the three of them are engaged in Torah and Limud Torah. They don't agree with each other. But that's not the critical point. The critical point is that they're all interested in Amito Shatara and discovering the truth of Torah. And as a result of that, once you have that kind of family, a little bit Mary in a take, it's not going to break that easily.
The question in Mishnah is that what he meant? That three cores is what the
That's one shot.
Is that, you know, that's what he meant?
I mean, that's one explanation of what he meant. Yeah. Okay, couple things over here. Take a look at the second Tosfos on the Amud. Second Tosfos on the Amud. V'achrim b'shulish lo b'meri yateik. Kama you shehin v'avosem v'avosavosem hayu tamid chachamim. So Tosfos points out it's not the first time in the history of learning where you had a grandfather and then his son and then his grandson all learning in succession. It's not so unusual. So the Gemara over here discovered three generations of people learning, and the Gemara gets so excited, and Tosfos is basically bothered by a really simple question. This isn't the first time that it happened.
Maybe okay. At the same time.
So Tosfos says, very good. V'lo kamar leim achunem ashush ela hacha haynu taim lefi sheshlosh tamra uzeh etzeh. So the reason why the Gemara got excited over here is that they were learning together. They were learning together. So I guess, by the way, if I can add to this point to the Tosfos, again, I'm not saying it's a great point, but if I can add, meaning back then, life expectancy wasn't what it was nowadays. For a grandson to be learning with his grandfather was not as, quote-unquote, normal as it is nowadays. And so it could very well be that for this, it was somewhat unusual, somewhat strange. Could be. The Rashbam, just, you know, as long as we're learning the Rashbam, we're still learning a lot of the Rashbam. So he learned with his grandfather, meaning he writes that he learned with his grandfather, Rashi. So I understand that's well after the Gemara, but okay, it's not super unusual for that to happen. Another point, says Tosfos over here, which if you looked at the way the Gemara went, the Gemara first quoted the opinion of Rabbi Oshia, then the Gemara quoted the opinion of Rabbi Chama, and meanwhile Rabbi Oshia is the son. Meaning, yes, it's strange, they're arguing with one another. Okay, that in of itself is strange, but that happens. But it's stranger, as Tosfos is about to point out, that first the Gemara quotes the opinion of the son, then the Gemara quotes the opinion of the father. It really should be the opposite. Tosfos also picks up on that as well. Next part of this Tosfos, Ahad Damaskar Rabbi Yosha, Kodim Rabbi Chama Aviv, Machlokos Lefishaya Gadol Yosem Idai. So Tosfos says that we have a tradition that Rabbi Oshia was a superlative Talmud Chacham. and his greatness basically forced the Gemara to first quote him and then quote his father. Kedamar, the Gemara, he quotes the Gemara in Erevin, Love and Shell, we have Achronim, Kepesa Chechel, the Rabbi Oshia, Vamanami Rabbi Oshia, Bedorik, Rab Meir, Bedorishlo, Yachlu Cheverov, La Modasov Dato. The Gemara makes a comparison regarding Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia in his generation was like Rabbi Meir in his generation. Throughout Shas, you're going to see Rabbi Meir have opinions which are sometimes so difficult to explain, so difficult to understand. Right? When we have this topic of Rabbi Meir and his difficulty of comprehension, of our comprehending Rabbi Meir, so I always quote the first Mishnah, the third paragraph of Sanhedrin. Third paragraph of Sanhedrin has a debate whether or not I can disqualify, if I'm a litigant, so I can disqualify my other litigant's judge. I can disqualify, according to Rabbi Meir, I can disqualify my other litigant's witnesses. And I don't need any kind of proof. I don't need any kind of validation, a verification. I could just disqualify them. So you read that Mishnah and you're thinking to yourself, like, what is Rabbi Meir talking about? It's really hard to understand. How can I ever build a case against somebody if he has the right to disqualify both my judge and my witnesses without any proof and validation? That it's very strange. It's very hard to understand. And the Gemara over there in the beginning of the third parak spends a lot of time trying to understand Rabbi Meir. And we don't always understand Rabbi Meir because the Gemara says he's quite frankly smarter than us. So he has opinions and they're not always that easy to understand. And the Gemara says in Erevin that Rav Oshia also was heads and shoulders above his colleagues. So and our Gemara now quotes the debate, so the Gemara is going to put Rav Oshia in front of Rabbi Chama. That's how Tosis explains why the order was put specifically in that way. Okay.
Related to them, by the way?
I don't know. It's a fair question. Meaning he's the one who made the observation. I don't know. Okay. Nun Tes Amud Aleph, halfway down the Amud, we're at the two dots. Sulam Amitzvah and Lo Chazaka. I put up a small ladder in your yard, and I've been doing so for years. And again, I've done so in order to access certain parts of my house or whatever. So it's a small ladder, so therefore it doesn't establish a chazaka. Again, like I mentioned yesterday, the basic rule is that if it's a permanent structure and I put it in your property, so that's chutzpah, and you didn't protest, and so therefore it must mean after 3 years that I've gained that right. Either I purchased that right or you gifted me that right. But in other words, after 3 years, I've gained that right. But if it's something small and something that is basically doesn't bother him that much, it's not that chutzpahdik, so I don't gain that right. So a small ladder, a sulam mitzri, right? I call it a 6-foot ladder. It's probably even less. It's like one of those.
Less than four.
Yeah. Well, the Gemara is going to say less than 4 rungs. You know, in the house, I have one of those. Right. Step stool. Stepping stool. Thank you. Okay.
We're going to deal with the fact that there's a ladder, does that mean the person's walking there?
So, again, that's the basic idea, meaning, you know, the Captiva houses happen to be just great examples because the only way somebody can access parts of his house is to go on the other person's property. So, it's kind of like there's an understanding that, like, you know, if I want to get to a certain wall of my house, I have to stand on your property. So, it's just a good way to think about it. But yes. In other words, to access my property. So hey chidami sulam hamitzri. So the Gemara says, so what does that mean, sulam hamitzri? Amar debe rabbi ana kosher ein lo arba chavakim. So anything less than four rungs, it's not a permanent ladder. Even though I've been doing this for years, I took my step stool and I put it in your property to get some. That doesn't mean I get a chazaka because, again, the threshold of chazaka means it's a permanent structure. You should have protested. You didn't protest. And therefore, it must mean I've earned the right. But if it's something where it's a step stool, it's not chutzpahdik, it's not going to demand that you have to protest. Then we move on to the windows. Now we talked about two types of windows in the Mishnah. We talked about a chalon amitzri, literally an Egyptian window, and a chalon suri, a Tyrian window. And the basic idea is that the Egyptian window is small and the Tyrian window is big. And again, it's the same basic construct of the Egyptian window is small and therefore it's not going to upset me that my neighbor put up this really tiny window. The Mishnah told us he can't even stick his head through it. And on the other hand, however, when it comes to a chalon suri, that's a bigger window and therefore creates more of a, it's a big deal that my neighbor put up a chalon suri. And again, if he didn't protest in the last 3 years, so that means I've earned now the right. The Gemara goes on to ask the following question. a really technical question, but it demands an answer. You know, when the Mishnah talked about the ladder, the Mishnah didn't give us a definition of the Egyptian ladder versus a bigger Tsuri ladder. And we know the definition because we have the Gemara, meaning the Gemara told us. But it's odd that the Mishnah didn't mention anything. And meanwhile, as it relates to the window, so the Mishnah gives very clear parameters of what the Egyptian window is and what the Chalon Tsuri is, and why did the Mishnah there feel the need to give definition? In other words, what's the difference? Basically, why by ladders are we supposed to know? Meaning, and the Gemara had to tell us, but when it comes to the windows, the Mishnah was very clear. So the Gemara has answered, Mishnah de Kabaya Flugu Rabbi Yehuda B'Seifa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, if you look back at the Mishnah, you also know that Rabbi Yehuda had an opinion at the end of the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah that we saw in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imesh la Malbein, if it has a frein, Alpha Pishe, Ein Rosh Hashadim Echoli Kanas the Chaver is the Chazaka. So we wouldn't know what Rabbi Yehuda was talking about had the Mishnah not given definition. So therefore, just to get to the Rabbi Yehuda's position, so that's why the Mishnah gave definition. I'm Rabbi Zera Lamata Medala Amos Yeshla Chazaka. Okay. And so from here until the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara now is going to have the following debate. Okay, what's the problem with me putting up a window on my property? So the problem, of course, is that by me now having a window, that gives me an access to seeing my courtyard and my yard. But of course, it also allows me to see my neighbor as well. My neighbor's courtyard, my neighbor's house. Basically, I have now visual access into my neighbor. And that's visual trespassing, or the Gemara refers to as a griya. So the Gemara says now as follows. I'm a Rebbe Zera. Lemata midal amos yesho chazaka v'yachol limchos. Lamala me'arba amos en lo chazaka v'yachol limchos. Now let's remember, the average height of the person back in the time of the Gemara was 3 amos high. Okay. Now, it's somewhere in other words, in the range of what we give an am, it's somewhere between 4.5 to 6 feet. Okay. The average height of a person back in the good old days. So once your window now starts in the house, meaning the bottom of the windowsill, starts in the house anywhere above 4 amos, so you're not going to be able to see out of the window. Now, what you can do, as the Gemara is going to point out in just a second, is of course you can put down a step ladder. You'll take your sulam hamitzri, you'll put it in front of the window, and you'll look out. But okay, but short of that, though, in other words, it's not going to allow you access to see your neighbor if the window is above 4 amos. So the Gemara now says as follows: that Rabbi Zera says, look, when it comes to putting up a window and the window is less than 4 amos, which basically means that you can see through the window, right? Even though the average height of the person is 3 amos, but still, in other words, if the window is below 4 amos, you can step on your tippy toes, you can, whatever. In other words, you'll see through it. So therefore, lamata midala amos yeshu chazaka v'yachol limchos, meaning so for me to put a window below 4 amos, so again, that is chutzpadik. That's invasive. So that means two things, actually. It means that my neighbor has the right to protest and needs to protest. And it also means that his failure to protest, and now me doing this for 3 years, means that I gain my chazaka. Because it's so invasive. Right? And it's an interesting relationship between his demand to protest and his failure to do so now gives me the right. Okay. Now, above 4 amos, so it's not invasive because I'm not going to look through it, and my neighbor really doesn't have a right to complain. Meaning, again, it has that same relationship. He has no reason to complain. I'm not going to be looking through it. It's too high off the ground, and so therefore I don't have a chazaka. Meaning, but at the same time, he can't protest because there's nothing for him to protest. Rabbi Eli Amar, I feel lamala me'arba amos en lo chazaka v'yachol limchos. Now, Rabbi Eli, on the putting of up the window above 4 amos, so he disagrees on half the point. On the point of Ein Lo Chazaka, got it. You cannot gain a chazaka when you build a window above 4 amos. However, can the other neighbor protest? So Rabbi Eli says yes, he can. And it's interesting. There's no chazaka, so that means that he can protest indefinitely. Now, what is that? Meaning, Rabbi Eli's position is difficult to understand. If the window is above 4 amos, so I'm not going to look through it, So why would my neighbor have the right to protest? So lema bekofen amida stone kam ifugid the marsar bekofen the marsar in kofen. So the Gemara introduces us to an idea which the Gemara expresses a number of times. We saw it earlier in Baba Basra, and it comes up many times throughout Shas. And that is the idea of, let's say somebody wants to behave like a citizen of stone. Now, obviously, it's unfavorable to emulate somebody from stone. But what was the nature of the people of stone is that if a person is getting benefit and it's no skin off of anybody's back, so the members, the citizens of stone would say, look, we don't want it. Meaning, we don't like it. Even though it doesn't affect us, right? Zenene v'zelo chaser. The person who's getting the benefit is getting benefit, and the other, and no one stands to lose, and yet the members of Stone say, you know what, we don't want it. Okay. And so, can we, as a society, basically enforce our people, our citizens, to say, don't act that way? I'm putting up a window, it's above four amas. I'm not looking into your property. I just want a window there. And my neighbor says, no, don't do it. I don't want it. So basically now, can we say to him, look, I don't know what your issue is. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't bother you. The guy wants a window over there. It benefits him. You don't stand to lose. Like, can you behave like a mensch? Honestly, just be a nicer person. Can we enforce people to be nicer? Okay, this is the idea of kofen al midas stone, and the Gemara debates this issue often. The Gemara over here says maybe that's the machlokus between Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Zeir says you got to put up the window above four amos, and I'm sorry, not you got to. You can put up the window above four amos, and your neighbor can't protest because that's not going to affect him. And Rabbi Eli says, well, if your neighbor's bothered and he wants to protest, he may do so. And basically, the issue is whether or not we can enforce people to behave nicely. So the Gemara says, no. Dekulei ama kofen. So the Gemara says, no. Truth of the matter is that everyone's in agreement that if you don't lose, so we basically tell you, you know what, just be a nicer human being. Be better. He benefits, you're not losing. We generally tell people, you cannot, and we're going to enforce you not to emulate the members, the citizens of Sdom. Shani Hacha, now the Gemara says, now as far as over here is concerned, the debate between Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Lai could be the following. And that is, Damalei, Zimnin, Demosefta, Shashifa, Tutech, Vekaimta, Vekachazis. The problem is, according to Rabbi Eli, is that I know the window is above four amas, and I know that while you're standing on the ground, in your floor, in your house, you're not going to be able to see through. But all you need to do is just put a bench over there, stand on the bench, you're going to be able to see through, and I'm worried about that. So in other words, Rabbi Eli's argument is that from the perspective of the neighbor, his argument is, I am going to stand to lose, as all you need to do is just stand on the bench and you can see through the window. Yes, correct. Gemara brought a case that was presented in front of Rabbi Ami, who then presented in front of Rabbi Abba Bar Mama, Amalei Avalei Karabi Eli. And he says, you know what? I think Allah goes like Rabbi Eli. He ruled like Rabbi Eli. The Rashbam points out over here that's in fact the halacha. The halacha follows like Rabbi Eli. So that when my neighbor puts up a window, and even though it's above four amos, but again, that potential hezekriya is something of a consideration. And if my neighbor protests, so then we have to honor his protest.
It's interesting that David and Lev did not follow this principle. Looking, I think it was through the window that we saw.
By right, that's correct, that's correct.
Okay.
Well, the Gemara, if I can remind you, the Gemara tells us that David HaMelech wanted to be tested, right?
And the window.
I understand that, but I'm saying,
okay.
So, and then the Gemara ends off with one note, and that is that when I'm building a window for light. Meaning, the Rashbam over here writes, I'm reading the Rashbam, it's the last Rashbam before the Mishnah. Chalon Rasili Kanis Mimenu Or B'makom Afel. Okay, it's a dark room. Right now I have no access point to light in this room. Okay, remember, electricity was still, you know, just a dream from the time of the Gemara. So the only way you can get light into the room is only through a portal, through a window. So, lo be'inan chalon tzuriyah la'afil koshuhu. Now here, if the purpose and construction of this window is to produce light for the house, for this room, yesh lo chazaka dechalon tzuriyah la'arem milsa dekviyusa. So that's something which is serious, meaning that's a serious piece of construction necessary for the house. So this is kavua, which now means that my neighbor needs to protest, meaning because he knows that I absolutely need this over here. The chol hayamim adam sarach la'arev kim shasach chalon zeh lechol hayamim asav ayola bal chasel limchos besoch gimel, and that means now that my neighbor absolutely needs to protest that within the 3 years. Again, Rashbam consistently says that even Cheskas Tashmish is 3 years, so he needs to protest within 3 years. And we the law micha ikal emema de brishusa asa. And if after 3 years comes and goes, and now my neighbor wakes up one morning and says, "Hey, I don't like that window," so now you say to him, "Look, 3 years have come and gone. You didn't say a word. And now I'll say to you that obviously we must have agreed to these terms." And so if that's true, what has been our discussion since the Mishnah, since yesterday's daf? So the Rashbam points out, it must be that the windows that we were discussing were not for purposes of light, but for purposes of being able to oversee my garden that's outside. It must be. Okay? We start with the next Mishnah, we're in Nun Tesamad Aleph, on the very bottom, Haziz. Okay, so I'm building a house and I have some crossbeams that are going into my neighbor's property. Okay, so good and bad are really not good terms to use over here. Meaning, may I, and once it's there, does it stay there? Ad tefach yesh lo chazaka. So up until tefach, it has a chazaka v'yacholimchos, and he can protest. Meaning, once I have a tefach of a sill, a crossbeam, going into my neighbor's property, so he should protest. And again, his failure to do so means now that I have a chazaka for that sill going into his property. And as we'll learn later on, I can even put something down on that sill. Unclear whether I can hang something off the sill into his property, but I can for sure put something down on that sill. But if it's anything less than a tefach, ain't lo chazaka v'yicholim limchos. So it's not a chazaka. That's something that is I'm the owner of the sill, can't establish a chazaka with it, and he doesn't need to protest because again, that's not so chutzpahdik. I'm Rabbi Asi, I'm Rabbi Mani, I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Mani, hechzik b'tefach, hechzik b'dalet. If you are machzik in one tefach, then you are machzik in four. What? In my ka'amar. So Gemara's immediate reaction to that statement is, I didn't understand that statement. Could you explain that better? Amar Abai Hachik, Amar Sabai says, yeah, sure. I'll explain it. Hichzik rochav tefach. Let's say the sill that's going to my neighbor's property is a tefach wide. B'meshech arba, by four. So it is an area of 1x4. Hichzik berochav arba, what that allows me now to do is to square it to 4x4. Why? So the Rashbam explains. Second Rashbam on the Gemara. Hachi kamar hichzik bezishu rochav tefach ba'orech dal tfachim. It is a tefach wide. Now, with over here, I think, in other words, if I'm visualizing this correctly, means it's going into my neighbor by one tefach, and it's four tefachim from end to end. That's the way. That's my visualization based on the Rashba. Bezishu rochav tefach ba'orech dal tefachim boli min akosa lechutz hichzik nami bezishu rochav bedalad al dalad orach. So now that basically gives you the ability to square it off. So now it becomes 4x4. Why? The Rashbam goes on to explain. Because once he sees that my crossbeam, my sill, whatever construction it is, once he basically allowed for four tefachim with nami barachvo, it must mean that he also agreed to four tefachim length as well. Throughout Shas, we say time and again, 4x4 tefachim is what's called the makom chashuv. That's a significant area. Right in the beginning of Shabbos, for example, we talked about akira v'hanacha, picking something up, putting something down. The halacha is, the Gemara says a number of times, it has to be picking it up from or putting it down onto a makam chashuv. A makam chashuv is 4x4. So once I have one of those parameters, one of those dimensions, so it must mean that he was agreeable to the other dimension as well. So once it's 1x4, so then by definition, that means that I could square it off to make it 4x4. And but here, however, you can't square it off under all circumstances. Let's say it's 10 tefachim wide and it goes down only 1 tefach. You can't square it off to 10 by 10. You can only square it off to 10 by 4. Again, the 4 by 4 is a significant area, so you can only max out at 4 tefachim. If it's 1x3, however, I can't square it off. Meaning the only thing that gives me the right to square it off is that one of the sides is 4 tefachim. And then 4x4 becomes a makam chashuv. I'm Rav Huna, we're back to the Gemara. Let me first read the heading of the Mishnah. Pachos mitefach, ein lo chazaka ve'eino yachol limchos. My sill, my crossbeam is going into his yard, but less than a tefach. So there's no chazak and I can't protest. I'm Rav Huna loshana ela bal hagag bebal hachatzir. Who is not protesting to whom? So Rav Huna says that the Mishnah is talking about the owner of the roof to the owner of the courtyard. But the owner of the chatzir can say to the owner of the roof, you know what? It's here, it's staying here. And I'm using it. Now, under what context or pretext, I should say, does he have the right to make that argument? The Rashbam writes. So, the Rashbam is, as the lines are about to get narrow, the Rashbam divra maskel b'bal chatzer. Deinu yuchel limchos bo v'lomar al tishtamish b'zir shali. Dema hifzid balagag. Halo, kishi yishtamish b'bal chatzer v'yitle b'ziz, chafetzav lo yiru l'bal hagag. So first of all, from the perspective of the owner of the courtyard to the owner of the roof, like what difference does it make if I use your sill that's protruding into my property? I'm not looking onto your rooftop when I put something there. Sharehu tachton lo. Remember, the courtyard is obviously in the lower ground. So he doesn't, just because he uses the sill, it's not going to give him a special access point to his neighbor's roof. Now, but I'm using the sill that's going into my property. That means that the owner of the roof can't use it. The Rashbam says that's also not an issue. Why? Rashbam makes such a fantastic point. Because it's less than a tefach, that means that the owner of the chatzar can at any point in time say, you know what? Get rid of it.
Cutting it.
Right? It's something which I can always protest. I can indefinitely protest against. So therefore, I have the right to cut it. So if I have the right to cut it, I certainly have the right to use it. That's the argument that you can make from the perspective of the Baal HaChatzer to that of the roof, the owner of the roof. Inami hachi kamer. Now the Rashbam gives another pshat, but for our purposes right now, I'm staying with the first pshat of the Rashbam. Okay, now back to the Gemara. So that was the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda Amar. Afil Baal HaChatzer beBaal HaGag inu yachol limchos. So and Rav Yehuda says no. Even the owner of the courtyard cannot say to the owner of the roof, "Hey, you know what? You can't make use of it." In other words, neither can protest in either direction. Now, from the perspective of the owner of the courtyard, I don't want the owner of the roof to use that small little protrusion. It's less than a tefach. Why do I not want him to use it? Because for him to use it, that means he's going to be standing on his roof, going over to that little protrusion over my property. He has higher ground, meaning he's on his roof, and that means that he's seeing what's going on in my property. And I don't want that. That's an invasion of my privacy. What we would call in halacha, hezek ri'iyah. So, lema behezek ri'iyah kamifligi. So the Gemara says, presumably, what Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are arguing about is maybe the fundamental principle of hezek ri'iyah. Marsav shmei hezek or marsav l'shmei hezek. An invasion of my property, visual trespassing, is that considered hezek? Can I block somebody from doing it? Maybe they're arguing about that very issue. The Gemara says, lo dekuli ama shmei hezek. The Gemara says, no. Now, just the Gemara rejects that idea out of hand, that that's their point of argument. And perhaps the Gemara says it's different over here. The Amar Le Litashmishta Lo Chaze. Lamai Chaze Lamidla Bamidi. So Mahadrana Paiva Telina Bay. So maybe the argument goes like this. The owner of the roof is saying now to the owner of the courtyard, look, it's my windowsill, and I want to use it, I want to hang something on it, and what are you worried about? Visual trespassing, hezek ri'ah? I'm not going to look. In other words, I'll back into it, and I'll put something there without looking. V'idach, and the other position is, amalei zimnan debais. No, what's going to happen, think about it, you're at the edge of your roof. You're going to be so comfortable and so confident, you're going to walk backwards to put something on that little protrusion. You're not going to do that. You're standing right at the edge of your roof. You're going to be scared. You're obviously going to walk forward. You're obviously going to look into my property. And no, I don't think it's possible for you to make access of that little protrusion and not look into my property. Everyone agrees to the concept of hezek ri'ah. The debate over here is, can a person make usage, can the owner of the roof make usage of that little area without visually trespassing into his neighbor's property? That's the Gemara says is machlokas. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we start with the Mishnah. Again, quick recap. We discussed the gutter and we discussed the drainage. Gutter, you can get a chazaka. Drainage, you cannot get a chazaka. Three approaches amongst the Amoraim, exactly how to understand that. A discussion in the Gemara as terms of whether or not the owner of the courtyard can demand that the water drain into his property. The Gemara's conclusion is yes. We had a three-generation machlokas. The grandfather and the grandson agreed with one another that the owner of the courtyard is entitled to the water. The middle generation disagreed. We discussed windows and creating hezek ri'ah through windows. Can I build a window above four amos? The Gemara debated that issue. And again, that really, the Gemara says it's potential hezek ri'ah. If I build the window for a light, that's something which is a permanent structure, and therefore, after 3 years, I can get a chazaka for that. Protrusions going into my neighbor's property. We discussed if it's greater than a tefach, if it's less than a tefach, and then we had a discussion of who can, if it's less than a tefach, who can make use of it, the owner of the courtyard or the owner of the roof, and we debated that issue as well.